Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 189, Peasant Tossing Goes Cross-Platform.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our hearts and for Boston, for Boston, since when comes the fight? And ever with a right shot as big bombs are touching me no more in the market. For Boston, for Boston, our glory is over.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck. Blonick, sadly unable to join us, but it's okay because we got an awesome show for you today. It is the first half of 2013 in gaming, and as usual, I have some pretty cool guests joining us, some people that I made friends with over at E3 this year. I am so excited. So first off, we have all the way from Bahrain, of all places, the Arab gamer himself, Rashad. Welcome to the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Yo, howdy.
And the stars from Region 2, Fifi Prosper and King Sparkle Leptic.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Bum, 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 bum.
You know, two kings in the house. I think King Sparkleptic is winning this round, baby.
Yes, yes, two kings. It's the first time I'm having royalty joining us. It's like two kings on the same podcast show. Nothing's like this has ever happened before. So as kings, maybe we can talk a little quickly about that because there are some things that only kings like you and I, Sparkleptic, like to talk about.
Absolutely.
Because, let me see, first of all, when you come see, because we all have this sort of King's Olympics that happens once every 4 years. It's more epic than the regular Olympics.
That's the Olympics only we know about. Common people know about that.
Right,
The Royal Olympics.
Like, Crash and I are just mere peasants just watching from the sidelines.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, as you probably know, there are some games that peasants do take part of, and especially the big one known as the peasant toss. That's what we do is we take a peasant, we try to do either a running start or a spinning start, and we see as far as we can toss a peasant, and whoever tosses it the farthest gets the gold medal.
Absolutely. Man. Last year came so close. I was so close to beating last year's winner, but it's all good. I'm happy they take a silver medal for last year's event. Dude, just fumbled.
I tripped on my last time. I totally tripped, and I only made 5 meters. I was almost outcasted by my kingdom. I was almost they wanted my head. Literally, they had the executor outside sharpening his axe, like going.
How dare you not know how to throw peasants?
Exactly. But I got back to my kingdom's good grace by giving him free porn, so everything's okay now.
It's always great. You get to throw porn left and right on people. It's awesome.
Yeah. When in doubt, porn is the answer.
Porn is it, absolutely.
Yes, my liege.
But anyway, yeah. let's get on to the subject at hand. Okay. Gaming in 2013, we've seen
about video games?
Yes, we're talking about video
games. Okay, I'm out of here, sorry.
You guys are such peasants, seriously.
I thought we were talking about porn, what's going on?
Yeah.
We're talking about
it was just getting interesting, too.
Maybe that'll be another show. Maybe that'll be a Google Hangout sort of program. We'll see how long we can last on YouTube right then and there.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
How long before we're totally blocked?
Absolutely.
But it's, it's the first...
So can you guys believe E3 2013 is done? I mean, like, I don't believe it passed by so quick and it was just 2 months ago.
Was it 2 months ago?
Yeah, it was.
June. It's almost been 2 months ago. Yeah, it's almost August.
Yes, it's
how time flies, my friends.
I know. So I figure, like, for the first half of gaming, let's chat about the best and worst in gaming for the first half of 2013. Let's talk about the good stuff first. Let's talk about the awesome stuff. Let's talk about what you think is the best title of 2013. And I feel like, Rashad, why don't you go first? What was your favorite title of 2013 and why so far?
Well, it has to be, I think, BioShock Infinite.
Oh my God! Same with us.
I honestly think, like, you know, I usually don't like with the last BioShock. I didn't really see the big value, or like everyone kept bragging about BioShock. It was all right. It was pretty fun.
Yes.
Okay. When did you play BioShock? The first BioShock. Did you play it recently?
No, I played it as soon as it came out on the Xbox 360.
And you still didn't like it?
No, I liked it. I just think it was overhyped.
I think it was the fact that BioShock 2 came out and it was a little bit different from the first one. It kind of like...
Yeah.
It kind of made it seem like, I don't know where this franchise can really go. But then BioShock Infinite came out. And it's still very different, extremely different from the first couple BioShocks, but it's still worthy of the BioShock name.
Yeah, that's true. The thing is, I liked about it is the whole, you know, I guess the whole chemistry between the characters. It's just the whole atmosphere. Yeah, DeWitt and what was her name?
Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth Booker. God, I kind of forgot. I've been playing so many games, I kind of forgot. But I really got into the whole chemistry thing. It was pretty cool. But aside from that, I think the game took a big risk by, you know, introducing religion and like racism and slavery in such a strong way. Because, you know, they used to bring, like, I remember in Eternal Darkness for the GameCube, I think that game had like a lot of religious things in it.
Oh yeah, and absolutely.
And even like Silent Hill 3 for the PS2, that game had a lot of like religious references, but here it's sort of like constantly there, you know?
Yeah.
Like I still remember the time when I was just running and gunning and all of a sudden the soldiers just stopped and began praying.
Oh yeah, like, that was freaky.
I was like, whoa, okay. And then swap! I just kept nailing them. But yeah.
I mailed a couple of them, but I just started feeling guilty. I'm like, maybe I should just move.
Let me give them their space.
Yeah.
In regards to us, Pippi and I both agree on a triple A at least caliber. Definitely, BioShock Infinite pushed the envelope forward. Fantastic production. Ken Levine has always been one to take the risk, as Rashid was saying earlier, and he really pulled off the big guns with Infinite. Excellent storytelling, fantastic universe, and an ending that blows your mind, which is, and one more, an important factor is a AAA game that actually lasted 20 plus hours of gameplay is becoming very rare these days.
Well, you're counting replay value, because I remember beating it in like 14, 15 hours, which is still a really, really long game.
Anything from 15 to 20 hours is an achievement these days, unfortunately. So getting that kind of caliber, that kind of quality is really stunning on a AAA basis. And just because Rashid already, you guys indulged in it, I want to give a really special note to, I believe, my indie selection for 2013, or I believe a game that's really fascinating that you guys have to try is Anti-Chamber. Not sure if you guys played that game.
I've heard of it.
If you like games like Portal, this is an awesome game. Fantastic concept, beautiful design. And so these are my two selections for me, BioShock Infinite and Anti-Chamber. Do check out Anti-Chamber.
Yeah, for me, it's the second we both looked at each other, we're like, oh, what's our favorite game of 2013? We're both like, BioShock.
No-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I haven't played the older BioShock games, but I've heard so much about them. And diving into this one, it was really fantastic. The universe they throw you in, and just like Rashid was saying, the whole dynamic relationship between Elizabeth and between Booker DeWitt, it's really something that takes you aback, and they throw you deep into this universe. And I remember playing it for hours on end, you know, and I'd cancel social plans with my friends to just, you know, play. And I can't wait for the weekend to come just so I can go back into this universe.
You just get totally engulfed in BioShock Infinite, and you see a world like...
It's so rewarding. The more you stick, the more you stay playing the game, the more you explore the universe, the more... It's so gratifying seeing a game give you exactly what you deserve for playing so many hours. You know what I mean?
And it's the type of world where, like, if it weren't for the total racist bastards that were living on there, you would want to live there. You would want to live in a place like Colombia.
Absolutely. I'd love to go through the zip lines instead of staying in traffic. And I mean, like, I'd love to, like, have my magic going on. And,
well, regardless of violence and killing people left and right, it's an awesome place to live in. Like, just like you were saying.
I took it to the violent aspect. Like,
I was thinking more of an, you know, level design, the way the city looks, the way it breathes, the way the people are. It's like, just like you were saying, I would love to be there had it not been for all the racism and the violence and, you know, this whole prejudice. But otherwise, it's a beautifully conceived city.
You know what kind of makes me think of, too, is have you seen the trailers for this movie called Elysium, the new Matt Damon movie?
Yes!
Same idea, exactly. Which is one of the main reasons I'm so psyched to watch the movie, this whole concept of people living. But the difference is, though, in Elysium, apparently the idea is an elite of people live on Elysium, whereas Colombia, I don't believe they're an elite. I think this guy, Comstock, unless, stop me if I'm wrong, isn't it the idea where he just picked up these people and he went with them very much like Jim Jones? And he took them up on this fine city. Did they have a choice?
They had a choice. It was more of, I believe it was his followers and then more people hearing about Colombia, wanting to be a part of it and being able to afford it. I think it is more of like Elysium where it's the richer 1%, kind of like a bad example is that movie or the book series of Atlas Shrugged, I'm not all for the ideas in that series, but it's kind of like the anti-version of Atlas Shrugged.
Absolutely. The one against capitalism and all that. So everything that, I'm with you 100%. Yeah, I agree.
The game has lots of colors.
Yes, it's very beautiful.
Beautiful, vivid colors. I miss that. It's all like in a sea of brown shooters, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. If you were talking about the graphics, absolutely. This whole flood of grays and browns and blacks. BioShock Infinite was such a beautiful joy. It was like an acid trip. Fantastic.
It was like when Dorothy gets dropped into Oz. It's like a colorful, bloody version of Oz.
What about you, Evan? What's your best title for 2000?
Okay. So, for my pick for 2013 so far, has to be the PlayStation 3 exclusive, Ni No Kuni: Wrath of the White Witch.
I had my problems with that game.
You had your problems with that game?
Yes.
Mind if I tell you what I liked about the game first before you talk about your problems?
Yeah.
All right. So first of all, it's a collaboration between Level 5 and Studio Ghibli, and it's basically everything you would think and imagine a Studio Ghibli would be like, one that you can control and one that is totally beautiful.
100%. Studio Ghibli is an awesome, awesome, awesome studio, and like they do awesome work.
I know.
That comes out of there is beautiful.
Absolutely. Even if the story isn't like totally great, you just can't help but be immersed by the worlds of anything by Miyazaki, whether it's Hayao or Goro or even Isao Takahata or any of the other directors too under Studio Ghibli.
And the soundtrack.
Yes, Joe Hisaishi, who is an amazing composer. But what I loved about Ni No Kuni is the fact that it gave you this whole Pokemon meets Tales of Symphonia battle system that just kept you just loving just all this whole fighting going on during these It's just so hard to really explain how much I love the fighting system in this game. It's exactly how I would love an RPG to be like, because I'm not that big of a fan of turn-based role-playing games. I'm more of the Tales of Symphonia type of person. So to see a Pokemon with that sort of style of battling in a game, it really excited me. Not to mention, I loved the story, I loved the characters, and it had the most beautiful anime-based CGI I've ever seen in a game.
Absolutely. The storylines, the storylines between, you know how it cuts into the storyline and when you're playing are so seamless. Like, it really makes you feel like you're living out a story.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, graphically, absolutely, just like you're saying, the CGI is phenomenal and almost second to none. It really looks, you know how when you played these, or when I played the Naruto games, they look so awesome, but they're so limited in scope because, of, you know, you're limited in the sand. Over here, with Ni no Kuni, it's like an open world of that kind of awesome anime graphics. Absolutely, graphically, the game stands on a level of its own. No doubt about that.
Absolutely. So, Sparkleptic, what were your issues with the game then?
Well, I don't like Pokemon games.
Okay.
That's right.
Preference kind of thing.
So the game is awesome, but what you loved about the combat system is what I hated about the combat system. It was so, to me, I hate the fact that I have to go, you know, like, grind, and it's all about upgrading your creatures. There's a certain charm to that, I agree, and a lot of people love making sure they have the best creatures and their artillery, and they've upgraded them, and they've customized them with their tactics and their skills. To me, it was too much of get on with the sword already. I don't care about that aspect of the game. Whereas a big chunk of the game depended on the combat. There's a large part of the overhead map that allowed you to explore so that you may upgrade your creatures. So it wasn't more like seamless. It was more like, all right, we're going to make you walk from point A to point B, but we're going to extend that walk because we're going to want you to enjoy upgrading your creatures and really going through this process of evolution. So it really chopped up the experience for me. To me, I really did not like the combat whatsoever.
All right.
This was the main gripe with it.
Okay, so would you say that you're not a fan either of like the Shin Megami Tensei series? Because there is a similar thing regarding gathering demons and upgrading them and fusing them together.
Yes. I love role-playing games. I love customizing my experience as much as possible. But there's something about this kind of customization that just does not connect with me. Okay. It's just like, for example, one extra thing that I didn't like, and I'm going to tell you what, I don't like Zelda games. Now, before you crucify
really?
Me.
What?
Before you crucify me. I was never able to enjoy any Legend of Zelda game. I admit that it's something that mind boggles all the gamers that I talk to, especially me being someone who's been playing games since I was 5. So I've definitely gone through the Zelda games. I've never enjoyed them even as a child. And there's a charm in the Legend of Zelda games that's existent in Ni no Kuni. So if you grew up loving Legend of Zelda games, if you love the combat in Pokemon kind of games and that kind of upgrading system, then Ni no Kuni is going to be on the top of your list of one of your all-time favorites of all time. All
right.
But to me, not liking such games obviously hindered the experience for me.
Naturally.
Okay, so I've got a bit of a confession to make because I've played all the Legend of Zelda games. I've played them all. I've never beaten any of them.
Well, here we go. So you're right there with me.
Somewhat. Like, I love the stories. I love everything. But I've never been pushed so far into a Zelda title that makes me want to go, I need to beat this.
Josh is having a heart attack right now.
Who are you people?
No, Evan, I'm with you. This is my main problem. The universe is great. Technically, on paper, it's a fantastic game, Legend of Zelda. It's just I never had the motivation to finish any of the games.
And okay, look, for the record, I didn't like Skyward Swords.
Okay.
Again, there's a massive fan base, and there's no way I'm going to bash you for loving Legend of Zelda.
Me neither.
Evan and I are the extreme minority, but it's just there's something that did not connect.
It's not the fact that I wasn't connected to the worlds. It was more of the motivation, having to do so many things, go from point A to point B to point B to point C to point D, back to point C, and then having to do all these things just for one task.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, we each have our reasons, but you know, definitely, there's there. So here we go. So I couldn't take it.
But with that being said, I'm probably going to buy Wind Waker HD when that comes out. See you later.
I'm sure you would.
Just to see what happens. So that'll be talked about the best. Is there a title that you feel like more people should be talking about? Like, is there an underappreciated title? And Fifi, why don't you go first about that?
Actually, I was going to say, this was the hardest topic for me to actually find an answer to, because the games that I've personally tackled or that I've personally played have been awesome, and none have been, and to just limit it to 2013 is so, and just the first half, I mean, I found this really difficult to answer. I don't know, like, I'm still on the sidelines on this one. I'm still trying to figure it out.
When it comes, I'll just chime in before so we can jump to Ratchet. There are two games. One of them is definitely Anti-Chamber. I spoke of it earlier, and really not enough people have played it. Not enough people have spoken about it. It's a great indie game. And the second one, in regards to, have you guys played Remember Me?
I've heard about it. Is it better than a lot of critics have been saying about?
No, but let me tell you this. The team behind it, okay, they've worked so hard on it. Yes, the storyline is choppy, way too many loopholes. The storyline is not that interesting for you to go through. But the level design, the art direction, the imagination conceived in that thing is really worth so is worth you as a gamer to play it just to see how beautiful the world they conceived is. If you enjoy, have you watched Blade Runner? Do you enjoy the aesthetic of Blade Runner?
Yes.
Remember, it's just as dystopian as Blade Runner is, with the same detail and the attention to detail that was given. It's a shame that not enough people are really giving it attention. They're just throwing it on the sideline. A game that was released and everyone forgot about it. No one's talking about it anymore.
They didn't even promote it properly either. It was like,
I agree.
When they released it, it was like, holy crap, it's out? Why wasn't I not informed about this game?
They gave up on the game way too fast for its own good, and I mean, there are some average games that last year that were always buzzing all over the media, and just like you said, Remember Me, it kind of was dropped. They dropped it
the way
that...
They talked about it hugely at last year's E3, and then all of a sudden it just was gone off the radar.
That's Capcom for you.
That's fucked up. It's a shame. It's a great game that needs to be experienced. Arashid, did you play it?
Yeah, I finished it. I reviewed it.
Thanks
to our friend Nazir. he's our PR guy in the region. So,
well, Rashid, what do you think of it?
I loved it. I really liked it. It was very challenging.
Yeah.
Like, I really had to know how to do the combos. I actually got my ass handed to me so many times in that game. Because I'm just the kind of button masher, you know, thanks to Kingdom Hearts. I'm just like a button masher. But then, like, this game is just like, it actually wants me to do the combos right.
Yeah.
So... That was really challenging. I actually liked it, and I really loved the memory remix part. And yeah, I agree with Spark. The story was kind of like fluky, especially towards the end.
Exactly.
Like the ending is like, yeah, what? Lol.
honestly, I played the game a little bit. I didn't appreciate having to like organize all these combos just for me to make a special move. I mean. But this is...
Button masher in the making. That's why you're going to love Kingdom Hearts. Trust me.
Okay, like, I didn't appreciate having to create all these buttons for the combos, but I did love the dystopian universe of it. I mean, visually, it's such
beautiful,
a treat. Yeah. And I love this Blade Runner universe, this aspect of...
Dystopian
universe, yeah. Like, I appreciate it. So, like, that game really triggered something in me. It's just... It lost me when it started creating, like, okay, create your third button combo. I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't want to sit here and think what I need to press and what I don't need to press, especially in a game like that. Like, had it just... I was behind it for the story more than the actual mechanics of it.
Definitely play the game, is all I'm saying.
Okay, so definitely play it. I'll have to take a look at it still. I'll have to put it on my Gamefly queue or something.
It's a beautiful game. Regardless, it's a beautiful game. It's just I personally... It's not my style of games that I like playing because of its mechanics.
Okay. Yeah. So, Rashad.
Yes.
Your underrated title of 2013 so far.
Amazing Frog.
Amazing Frog?
Yes.
Amazing
what is
Frog?
That?
See, no one knows about it. Because it's an Ouya exclusive.
It's a what exclusive?
It's an Ouya exclusive.
Oh, that game... Broken as hell. I've seen all these videos online, man.
I love it. It's so good. That's what makes it great. It's a game that's actually broken, And it's fun because it's broken.
It looked like one of those games. There was a game called Pain on the PlayStation where you truck people around. Is that the same concept?
No, well, kind of. But this one is more like, I don't know, more physics and more ragdoll effects.
Awesome choice.
And frogs. And lots of rocks.
I'm having my Ouya shipped from Abu Dhabi soon. I'll get to play it then, and then we'll have a long talk about that, Mr. McDonald.
No, I just seriously, I remember just walking, tripping, and then I'm just stuck on the floor, and I keep tapping, what was it, the square button, and I just keep farting off the ground. It's like, okay, stand up, and then I stand up, I go into a cannon, and I just go, and you just see like, and then it's like, I just see my face hitting on the wall, and just like, you know, ragdolling.
I don't think the developers ever expected anyone to call the Amazing Frog most underrated game of 2013. So you might want to get in touch with them.
Yeah, let's get in touch with them.
Yeah, you might want to do that.
You'd be happy.
All right. So for my pick for underrated title is a 3DS downloadable game called Attack of the Friday Monsters: A Tokyo Tale. This was a very under-the-radar title. It's part of Level 5's Guild 2 series. It's about this boy and his family. They move into a city where apparently, like, monsters roam every Friday, exactly when a superhero TV show airs. It's a very short title. It's like, you can beat it in under 3 hours, but what made it great was it had an amazing storyline, likable characters, and, like, the twists and turns regarding both your family and, like, the mysterious other transfer student that comes in and the other weird characters that you come across. It just made it a worthwhile experience to try out. And it felt like it was a really good interactive, like, anime movie of sorts. Like, it's a type of game where you can replay it over and over again because it's like playing a good movie.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. We're checking out then.
Yeah, we'll definitely check it out. I wish we had this conversation before the Steam sale. Hopefully, like, some of these
games... It's a 3DS exclusive.
It's $8. I know it's a 3-hour game, but it's still cheaper than most 3-hour movies you buy on DVD and Blu-ray.
That argument, I'm with you on board. I'll pay $8.
You know, I had the same argument with that with someone when I got Mirror's Edge. He's like, why would you pay $60 for this game for, like, just, I don't know, seven hours of gameplay? I'm like, wouldn't you pay, like, that much money for, like, an art book or, like, some fancy drawing?
Which is true. So that's a good way to look at it. But Mirror's Edge is a very tricky subject. I think what people are thinking about is basically, if I'm buying a game, I'm buying a game to enjoy it and not just to look at it. And that's where the tricky subject, I believe. But Mirror's Edge is an awesome game, man.
Absolutely.
It was bashed, unjustly bashed. I believe it was revolutionary for its time. And it's really introduced so many new concepts that a lot of people just completely disregard.
I know. And that's why I'm really looking forward to how the sequel is going to, it's going to be. Because I loved Mirror's Edge. I thought it was one of the most unique titles I've ever played. And I loved the whole first-person parkour experience it gave you.
Absolutely, man. And the fact that a new IP, so I always celebrate when a studio takes a risk with a new IP. It's always needs the celebration because we don't want remakes and rehashes and using the same engine of this creating that and a completely new IP from first that actually looked the part.
Yeah.
So that's why I always celebrate them, regardless of how great the game was or wasn't.
Right. That's why I'm kind of like irked when I'm reading about Ubisoft when it comes to them making new games. They're basically say, we won't make a new title unless, of course, we know we can make a franchise out of it.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, when you hear that shit, it's like, come on, man. For real?
Come on. What's wrong with one-and-done games? There have been plenty of great one-and-done titles.
Yeah. And what happened to, like, freaking Beyond Good and Evil 2, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Don't stab my heart.
I was really expecting an announcement. They totally bailed on me, man.
Beyond Good and Evil... Look, two games that stabbed my heart are Beyond Good and Evil and fucking The Guardian. Last Guardian.
Oh my god.
Man, where are these games?
They still say, we're still working on it. Well, I hope that when Last Guardian finally comes out, it, like, pushes the boundaries of what the PlayStation 4 is going to be capable of.
I hope they release it, man. You know, I was so excited. I actually played Ico again, like recently. I finished it again. I'm like, dude, I need The Last Guardian. I cannot keep playing this game all over again. I need The Last Guardian.
I know it's really sad. And if you get the HD collection, it's like filled with like videos about The Last Guardian. It's like, yes, this game is coming out soon.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, maybe another. I hope it doesn't go encroach upon the Duke Nukem Forever territory.
I hope not.
That's about it. All right, so I'm definitely gonna be checking out that 3DS game you talked about.
Yeah, it's very different. It's more dialogue based. It's more character driven. Oh. There's not a lot of real gameplay to it, but as a narrative, it's fantastic.
Awesome. Fantastic. There are a lot of games. Like, if you like that game, by the way, there's a game on Steam called To the Moon that I believe Fifi can talk to you about.
Yeah,
it's the same concept. Not a lot of gameplay, but the story is out of this world.
Yeah.
That game's ending is, like, depressing as hell.
Yeah, but regardless, I would still say people need to play that game because sometimes the game is all about... It's an excellent game that it proves that sometimes it could be just about the story as opposed to the graphics and opposed to all that. Like, it brought it back to a simpler time.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I've heard a couple things about the game. Not so much that I've been wanting to check it out, but just heard, like, some whispers about it. So I'll probably have to take a look at it.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, if you like that kind of game where it's just text-based and story-based, not enough gameplay, then To the Moon should be your next two games.
Like, that kind of game made me... usually, like, when I stop playing... when I finish a game... It's usually just like another 1 or 2 days and then I pop back into another game and start it. This one, in fact, like it took me a week to kind of get it out of my mind and just to like kind of like, so I was still very enthralled in that universe that I was kind of like, okay, I'm not ready to move on just yet.
Yeah, awesome.
You know what I mean?
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So would that be your pick for underrated title of 2013 then?
It came out last year.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If it was, then absolutely. I didn't know it was released in 2013. Absolutely. That game is a beautiful game that I urge everyone to play. And a lot of girl gamers come up to me and they go like, what should we play? And that is definitely a game that I recommend. Like, it's a fantastic game.
Let me see. Charming. Oh, 2011. Damn.
Oh, I knew it. Like,
there's no way
it could be a new game.
But it just recently got added on Steam, that's why.
Oh, okay.
Still, technically speaking, I could come and tell you, for example, I don't know, there's a... Well, what game were we just talking about recently that was released on the iOS? The Cave. No, not The Cave.
Oh, Limbo.
Limbo, for example, just released on the iOS, but we can't call it the 2013 game.
Yeah, it's all good, though.
Yeah.
That's report. It's 2013 report. Anyways, but To the Moon, definitely check out To the Moon.
Yeah.
Okay. So shall we move on to worst title?
Wow, this one was a no-brainer for me.
My favorite
category. I'm like, what's the worst title? Aliens, Colonials, Marines.
Yeah.
Aliens, Colonials.
That's what
I was so looking forward to that game. I mean, I love the Alien franchise, and I love that universe, and I'm a huge sci-fi buff, and, you know, like, there were so many beautiful Alien franchises out there, and it's a first-person shooter, which I love. But honestly, like, it totally, totally disappointed
me. Yeah, man. Like, where's my Alien vs. Predator kind of quality game? And I'm talking about the first Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah,
that's the kind of shooter I wanted.
This is why I never trust any movie-based video game until I see the final product.
Honestly, like, this is tie-ins. Like,
but it's not a tie-in or a movie-based. No, it's just based on the universe. Like, it's not linked to any movie.
But
they
shouldn't mess around with the universe of a game.
It's a story. It's someone's storyline. Though I agree, though. Like, I mean, Aliens, Colonial Marines, I was rooting for that game. I mean, Gearbox was fucking behind it. I fucking love Gearbox.
Yeah.
Randy is one of my favorite people in the video game industry. And I'm like, Gearbox all the fucking way, man. And Aliens, they could not fuck it up. And then when this happened, it's like, oh, shit. Duke Nukem was not a fluke. I think I'm having my doubts right now. Even though they picked up Duke Nukem and let it out there, I kept saying, no. It's not their fault. They're going to do something else with the Duke Nukem franchise. Don't worry about it. And then they drop Alien Colonial Marines. It made me feel like, you guys, I know Borderlands is a fantastic first-party franchise for you guys. I know that this is like your seller IP, but you should pay more attention to other games as well.
And they also do a great job of Brothers in Arms as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they have a lot of credit to their name.
Did you guys hear, like, the whole, fiasco, apparently, that Sega paid the Gearbox money, and they actually took that money and put it into Borderlands 2?
They put it into Borderlands 2, and then with a small remaining amount, they hired a third-party studio to pick up whatever mess they tried to do. It was a mess.
Everyone started playing and the reviews came out, they were like, no, it's not our fault, it's their fault, and everyone was pointing fingers at each other. What a mess.
But I'll tell you what, since we're talking about, like, you know, if you'd allow me, like, when the time comes for me to talk, I have a list of my worst 2013 games. So,
Let me just say that there were a lot of signs pointing that Aliens Colonial Marines was bad news. One of the biggest signs was that there was not a single player demo at any convention. All it was the multiplayer. They never gave you a chance to try out the single player experience. When they showed off the single player experience, oh, here's a dude from Gearbox. He's going to play it for you.
That was lying.
They're all lies. Every time when someone is playing it for you, it's just a video and they're acting like they're playing.
I'm wondering if that's true, because what happens if the guy dies in front of the crowd? That's going to be freaking hilarious.
I'll tell you what, dude. Rashad, have you were at the Xbox and the PlayStation conferences. Yeah. The video for Destiny, they were playing it. If you went inside behind E3, it's the same exact gameplay footage. It's a scripted conversation and now my friend is going to come here, and now she's going to use her skill, and now it's memorized. It's a theatrical performance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't believe any of that. Unless I have my hands on the game actually playing it, it's all a video. I don't believe it.
And I totally agree with you. That's why I'm so hesitant about the Mad Max video game. When it revealed that, I was like, ooh, this is going to be great. Wait a minute. I've been in this seat before.
Something smells here.
But hey, just for the sake of saying, like, Riddick was pretty badass. Escape from Butcher Bay. Have you guys
played
that game?
That's one of the few exceptions to movie-based video games. That game was amazing.
That game was better than the movie.
Yes.
Yes, it was. It was a great exception to the rule.
And the Ghostbusters video game, not the Sanctum of Slime, the one with Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, all the original cast members. That was a great video game, too.
That was an awesome game. Absolutely.
But I'm just so hesitant now to even check out a movie-based video game until I'm able to go hands-on with it. And if it impresses me enough, okay, I'll give it a go when the final product comes out. But I'm still have that sort of pessimism when it comes to movie-based video games.
Yeah, I know, but like, I just think, like, tie-ins get a bad rep, and I'm waiting for that game to come out that's going to all prove us wrong, you know?
Right.
It's going to be that star in the sky that'll be like, oh, there is hope.
That's why I'm saying be pessimistic. That's so when the game comes out and it's amazing, you feel wonderful and surprised.
Absolutely. That's the best way to go at it.
Yeah. So, Spark Electric, you have a list of terrible games.
All right. Well, first on my list is definitely Aliens Colonial Marines. We've spoken about that one abundantly. And again, these games are the games that disappointed me during 2013, and it's so surprising that most of them are franchises. I was expecting much more. So I'm going to go through them. Dead Space 3, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, God of War Ascension, Gears of War Judgment, even freaking games like fucking Defiance, the game that I was so looking forward to as a link up between a TV show and a video game. All these games that I just told you were so disappointing for... They all gave up on what they started off with. They gave up on the universe. They gave up on the story. They're like, you know what? Fuck this. Let's get lazy and let's just give to the masses a game that's so easy to consume. Our fans will buy it anyways. And the new fans will see how popular the franchise is. Minimum amount spent on the games. Minimum budget. So much in return. That's what I feel all these games were. It's such a disappointment. And the mother load is PlayStation.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
PlayStation All-Stars. Did you guys play that game?
I just saw it as a Smash Brothers clone.
Yeah, well, agreed. But when I first heard about it, I'm like, whoa, I'm going to be playing with Sackboy and PlayStation characters. This is going to be awesome. It sucked ass. it sucked so bad. Even Sony knew it. They gave up on it much sooner than Capcom gave up on Remember Me. We didn't even know it was released. We're like, whoop, oh, by the way, it's out there. They just farted it out, just like that, because they knew it sucked.
What, they shut down the? They also shut down the studio that made it like a month into its release.
Yeah, boom, real fast. Like, by the way, here's the game. By the way, the studio shut down like 2 or 3 weeks later. That's how quietly they want to get rid of that game. To them, it sunk, and it duly did stink. So many of these franchises are so disappointing. It's the new games that I'm so excited about, which ultimately is the silver lining of the cloud. You know, like, okay, all these games, I think I'm tired of them. The Gears of War, the God of War, this is not how these franchises should have been dealt. They deserve a much better treatment, but I'm looking forward to the new IPs, to the new imaginations, new creations, new games. That's what I'm looking for right now.
All right, cool. So let me think. Rashad, would you say Aliens Colonial Marines was your worst pick, or was there something that was more terrible than that?
There is something more terrible, unfortunately.
There is?
Yes, Right to Hell.
Oh my god, you actually played that game.
That's Right to Hell.
It's, you don't want to see it. You just don't want to see it. Whoa. It is so bad.
I actually feel bad for Deep Silver having to release this. I bet you they were trying to avoid releasing it, and there was in their contract that they had to do it. And it's like, shit, let's just make it $30, and let's just hope it goes away. But no, everyone's talking about how bad of a game it is.
But wait, hold on. So what kind of game is it?
It's broken.
Yeah, it is a third. Supposedly, it's a third person, you know, action game, talking about, you know, a bunch of bikers from, I don't know, Vietnam or something.
Yeah,
and they're like all angry, and they just keep hitting each other.
Is it worse than The Walking Dead Survival Instinct?
Oh yes, it is. Yeah. It's literally broken. Like, imagine you're driving on the road, and the car just, like, suddenly just dips into the ground. Whoop!
Now, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, because, why not? Yeah, seriously, it was just so bad. And apparently the game was supposed to be open world at one point.
Yep.
So, they decided to make it, like, linear, so, like, some levels take a ridiculous amount of time to load or something. It's just like, it's so bad. It's broken from all sides, like from a game development point of view, and from they didn't even bother QAing this game. It's really bad.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that they actually released this game. We were in 2013. You'd think there'd be some standards, you know?
That's why I was saying, I bet you there was something in the contract that said Deep Silver had to release this, no ifs, ands, or buts, and it's like, fine, let's get it out there. I bet you they were really regretting doing this, and that they were hoping that it was just going to disappear. But on the plus side, Deep Silver does have Saints Row 4 coming out later, so hopefully that should redeem them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully.
Since we're talking about disappointing news, I found out today that Fez 2 was canceled.
I know!
Oh my god, that was hilarious!
I can't believe Phil Fish did that! Oh my god!
What a man!
Dude, he's like, fuck this shit, I'm done. How dare you do that to your gaming fan base? How dare you?
I think his gaming fan base love Fez. They don't give a shit about Phil Fish. Phil Fish, I mean, I've been trailing him for a long while, listening to his interviews, reading his stuff. The guy is not clear up in the head, and he pulls off this emo fit every single time he's asked anything that he does not remotely agree with. So in all honesty, I believe people like us love Fez, and we appreciate the genius that he offered in regards to Fez. But him as a person, like, the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, I think he's paranoid. I think there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, dude,
I think he's a little bit edgy and paranoid, and I don't think the gaming community appreciates someone like that.
Maybe he's like maybe he's like a bit bipolar or schizophrenic or something.
He's absolutely.
I should have read the tweets. Like, one person wrote like, "Okay, I'm done. Goodbye." And then one person wrote, like, "You're not the game developer. You know what was it? Like, you're the game developer we need, but not the one we deserve," or something. That was hilarious. It's like he pulled that line out of Dark Knight. Yeah. You're the game developer we need but don't deserve.
I feel like we watched indie games, like, I think last year or so, like a year and a half ago or something like that.
Have you guys watched it, by the way?
Like, if you haven't watched it.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I do have it in my Netflix queue to watch, so I will definitely sit down and see.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, like, even then, he seemed a little bit unstable, and I don't think it's more of a, you know, like a fuck you kind of situation more than a oh my god, this person has gone over the edge.
No,
kind of a situation. Yeah.
He's always been like that, apparently.
Yeah, I feel like he was so passionate about Pez that Pez. I think I'm craving Pez. He was so passionate about Fez that by the time Fez 2 came out, he was so emotionally involved that any word that came out against Fez 2 was like, or any kind of like poke, it was going to take him over the edge. So I think he's just mentally unstable.
Yeah.
And just very stressed out. And
yeah, and the people who suffer most are the gamers who wanted the sequel.
Me, like people like me. And probably people like us.
Fez, man. I fucking loved Fez. I thought Fez was genius.
Me too. It was one of my top games of 2012.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, you know, so that to me is so far the most disappointing news of 2013. There's not going to be a Fez 2. And it's official, it's certified, that's it. No more Fez 2. The studio confirms it, he confirms it. Fuck it, all the hell. No more Fez 2.
And it happened so quickly.
Yeah, that was the fucked up thing about it. It was like, biggity, biggity, boom, fuck you all, I'm going home, screw you guys.
He didn't give us time to mourn. It was like, you know what, fuck you. Here's the corpse, I'm shooting the corpse again right in front of you. Just to make sure. No time to fucking mourn. So, really, such sad news.
It is. I'm still pissed off about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, on to more interesting, more happier news, or rather, more happier topic. New consoles coming out at the end of the year. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
During E3, we couldn't have enough of this conversation.
We couldn't have enough of this conversation.
We couldn't stop talking about it, you know what I mean? And I remember all three of us, I think Spark was already in the conference, and all three of us were waiting to get in. And we couldn't talk about what we were expecting from Xbox. So what do you guys think?
So between the two of them so far, I'm still leaning towards a stronger PlayStation 4 over the Xbox One.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the general perception, I think. And it's obviously because, you know, the Xbox One is more expensive and, you know, PS4 is kind of like the cheap winning hero, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. That conference completely took, like, destroyed everything, you know?
It did.
I mean, this year...
It was, like, headshot, you know?
Point blank.
This year, it was definitely Sony's conference, whereas last year, for example, it was Ubisoft, so it's awesome that Sony took it this year, and I was expecting them to take it with all their updates and all that, but in retrospect, the PlayStation definitely is going to be a bit cheaper, but what they have, $100 actually cheaper, which is a substantial amount. They have the people behind them, because even though Xbox reverted back to include all the options that fans asked for, you don't just forgive someone that easily.
Right.
People are so for the PlayStation.
I feel like more that Microsoft did that in spite. Not that
they had something, man. They were going to be the bad evil doers if they don't do it. It's because what are you doing?
But the thing that worries me too is the fact that the technology that is going to cause all that, the whole no use games and everything, it's all still going to be in the Xbox One. So who's to say that Microsoft could one day go, oh, by the way, click, flip the switch.
No, they would never do that. Dude, if they do that, that's like suicide. That's a suicide bet.
I see a lot of people diving into the Xbox, like, just like Evan's saying, I see a lot of people diving into the new Xbox and then all of a sudden them going like, oh, by the way, like, we've kind of changed our approach to this again, maybe like a year into it or 2 years into it. Now we're going to have exclusive, now it's going to have to be like this, and this is how you're going to have to deal with it after people have already bought it.
Definitely something that might happen, but just like Rashid said, if they do this, it's suicide. They'll shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, like now I can actually play the Xbox One. I can actually play it here.
Right, because for a time it wasn't going to be released in the Arab world, correct? Because
not even released, because I'm getting it from America anyways. That's how it rolled. Because it's like a lot cheaper. Trust me, it's a lot cheaper even with the shipping, right? So what I'm going to do is, like, I'm going to get it here. But, you know, initially the idea was that the Xbox One was region locked.
Yeah.
I don't know why they wanted to, like, you know, the whole online thing was supposed to be included with it was the region locking. So I couldn't actually play the Xbox One even if I bought it from America. So that was one thing that was really pissing me off. So, you know.
When they when they reversed it, that probably was good news for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing that still bothers me too about Xbox One is, yeah, it's great that they took away the whole you can still play used games and everything. What I don't like is the fact that you still have to download the entire game onto the hard drive to play it, and then still have to use the disc.
Oh, really? Did they confirm that?
That's from what I heard. I believe they said that most you still have to install a good chunk of the game in order to play it.
Well, I know that with some games like Forza 5, they said that they have to like download like a massive update because apparently half of the game was supposed to be on the cloud or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know. So I hope it's not like that with all games because that would really suck.
It would, especially from like a hard drive space perspective, because you're given 500 gigabytes, and let's say hypothetically, like if you're downloading these games, they're gonna be higher end graphics and everything. Let's say that each game is like 20 to 25 gigabytes each. That's gonna only give you enough room for about 20, 25 games for its entire lifespan. Not to mention that a good chunk of that hard drive space is going to be used just for the interface.
Yes.
So there's going to be a lot less titles you could put on there.
Unless there's some sort of technology they're working on that could, you know, compression. They're definitely working on the compression factor.
Have you guys heard that the Xbox One will apparently give a limited space on the cloud for all the Xbox Live members?
Well, PlayStation,
you have unlimited storage on the cloud.
Storage. Your own data or like...
Like your own... Your own folder in the cloud will have a limited storage. You can store as much as you want in it.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I have Google Drive that allows me to put 50 gigabytes on the cloud. So I don't know how much I'm going to be using that Xbox benefit.
I don't know.
And everyone quiet. But I'll tell you, just to move it on, though, even though with all the criticism that Xbox has been receiving recently in regards to, you know, a more expensive console, having to backtrack and reverse so that they can match up with the PlayStation's offering, there's one important thing that the Xbox still beats the PlayStation 4 with, pound for pound, and that's games. You have to admit...
The launch lineup for the Xbox One is better than the PS4.
It's way more impressive.
I do admit it's better, but at the same time, I'm, in the back of my mind, I'm like... But are these the games that I want to play?
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what. Listen, there's Rise.
That's Rising 3, dude.
Yeah.
There's Project Spark. There's Rise. There's Killer Instinct's going to be an Xbox One exclusive, for fuck's sake, man.
Like, I know, but the thing that still turns me off is the fact that you have to pay for all the characters.
No. They fixed that up. You're not going to be paying for each individual character. They're going to give you like a season pass where you can pay, for example, $25 or $30. And every time a new character is released, you instantly have it automatically. So it's like you're paying $50 for a full game. It's all good.
Okay. All right. So that
as long as I can buy the game, I just want to buy it and keep it.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Like normal people do.
I know. But I believe Killer Instinct is going to be a downloadable game because if they're only giving you Jago and Saberwolf at the beginning, it doesn't justify a disc.
Absolutely. It is. So I do believe it is a downloadable title.
Okay, it's definitely going to be a download. Xbox One does have... I understand that you might not be interested to play these games, but really, they're much more stunning. I see myself playing these games much more than playing Knack or, I don't know, freaking Drive Club or that kind of
game. I will admit I had more fun with Forza 5 than Drive Club, and I am very excited about like Local Cycle for Xbox One, but what I like about PlayStation 4 is all the indie titles that are coming out for it. You've got like Don't Starve, Outlast, Daylight, Transistor, Octodad, Deadliest Catch.
Well, aren't these on the PC?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of them are old. That's what I'm about to come tell you. They've been on Steam for a while now.
Some of them are going to be brand new. But
I agree.
But the thing is, like, initially, a lot of these indie titles, I thought I was going to have to fork over like a grand for my own PC to play these games.
Ah, okay.
But the fact that it's coming out for PlayStation 4 makes me happy as a gamer, so I know I don't have to spend a lot more money for another computer to play these titles.
I guess it makes sense. If for someone who doesn't own a PC, yeah, I mean, it's awesome you get to play these games somewhere on a console, easier done. So yeah, PlayStation does get a few bonus points for indie support, definitely.
Right.
The fact that you don't need a publisher, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I know Xbox One just said, we don't need, you don't need a publisher either. You could just download. I still have my hesitation. I'm still hesitant about that.
Yeah, too little, too late. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's too little, too late.
With Xbox.
Yeah. With Xbox.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the Xbox One. It's a little too late for everything.
Yeah.
It's like, it has a very bad, bad look in the eyes of gamers. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, granted, somewhere along the lines, I'm going to buy an Xbox One, but it's not going to be at launch time. I'm going to wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, somewhere along the lines, as hardcore gamers, like, all of us are going to buy the Xbox.
Excuse me, I'm buying both on launch.
We're definitely not pushing it to the corner. We're all going to get it.
Yeah.
I might be running faster for the PlayStation 4 than the Xbox.
I've already got my pre-order down for a PlayStation 4.
Hey, I'm the kind of launch day consumer, you know? I don't wait for the reviews. I'll go, fuck it, I'm buying it.
But you see, I'm more worried because Xbox doesn't have that sort of good reputation about first systems coming out. I just picture it catching on fire as soon as you plug it in.
Listen. I bought the Ouya. I backed up the Ouya, special edition Ouya, chrome color, blah, blah, blah. I still haven't played it. So I love owning this stuff, knowing that I was one of the first people to own that console. And that's why I want to get it on day one.
Yeah, but you and 1,000 other people.
Absolutely. But in regards to specs, I definitely go for PlayStation before I go for an Xbox One any time of the day.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, the whole control aspect. I mean, I know... From a picture perspective, it doesn't look too different from the PlayStation 3, DualShock 3, but when you get your hands on it, it's a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, speaking of comfort, what do you guys think of the joypads? The new joypads?
I like the Xbox One more than the PS4.
I agree. There's something that went missing with the new PlayStation controller. It didn't feel right in my hand. Maybe I'm still too used to the DualShock, but I don't know, the DualShock 3. Not sure, though.
The thing is with the Xbox One controller is, Xbox 360 controller was already the perfect controller. They really didn't need to, like, update it or do much to it to make it even better. But from the leap that PlayStation had to go from the DualShock 3 to the DualShock 4, there was a noticeable good difference.
Because let's not forget what they messed up with the DualShock 3 in regards to the motion sensing, that whole motion thing. They invested in a technology that's completely defunct.
Yeah.
It didn't work. It wasn't practical. And that's why they thought they were going to take a generational leap with it. They did it. So it ultimately remained the same design. Whereas the Xbox 360, what they did is did you play with it? The Xbox 360, the Xbox One controller?
Yeah. I played it with for LocoCycle.
I have to admit, the whole rumble feature from top to bottom of the controller could really be awesome if done properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
But I understand where you're coming from. The new PlayStation 1 has you know, the touch panel, it has clickable, you know, the instant share button. The Xbox One controller, it cracked me up when they were trying to give new names to the back and start buttons. So now we don't call them back, we have the menu button, which does the same exact thing as the back button on the Xbox 360 controller. The same exact thing. So all they did is just add the vibration to it. So that kind of thing.
Right. Although it kind of does have a bit of vibrate. That's a good question. Does the Xbox 360 regular controller, the wireless one, have vibration? Because I've been playing with it, and I don't really notice.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it does. For sure. 100%.
No, I'll say 1,000%. I'm still playing with one right now. It definitely has it.
And between the Xbox controller and the PlayStation controller, like... I play them both, but like I feel like the controller of the Xbox just sits better in my hand than the PlayStation one.
True.
So I feel like the Xbox controller is definitely one up to the PS.
You know what controller sucks? The Wii U hardcore controller, whatever the fuck, that sucks ass.
Okay, I will admit that there were a lot of flaws with that one. Because
so many.
the fact that both the sticks are up above and not below, it really made playing Black Ops 2 really difficult.
You keep pressing the wrong buttons. Like, what am I doing? I felt like a total beginner playing on that thing. It's like, this is the first console I ever owned. They're trying too hard to reinvent the wheel. And I heard the Ouya controllers are just as bad, though.
Well, actually, no. I prefer playing... I played Black Ops 2 on the Wii U gamepad, and I felt like it was better doing it that way.
On the gamepad than the controller. I agree. I mean, gamepad just works. It's just too bulky for long hours of gameplay.
The Ouya controller is actually pretty good. The one I got. Yeah, because they improved it for the retail version. I don't know about the backer version, but I know for the retail version, they kind of like improved the buttons. They don't feel as cheap anymore. It's good. I like it. It's not as good as the Xbox 360 controller. But here's the funny thing: you can actually use an Xbox 360 controller on the Ouya.
Oh no!
Yeah, I saw your post.
You just plug it in, and that's it. You don't even need to configure it. Awesome. It picks it up automatically.
That's amazing.
Same with the PS controller. Wireless. I have a wireless receiver for my PC gaming, right? So I just plugged that in, and I synced my Xbox, and it worked.
That's awesome.
Easily. Yeah.
But when we look at Xbox One, when we look at PlayStation 4, which do you think is going to be the most successful during its first year? Because my money right now is PlayStation.
Yeah, my money is on PlayStation,
but I feel like launch games of the Xbox are stronger, the exclusives.
Yeah, Dead Rising 3, you know, I'm a huge Dead Rising 3 fan.
I forgot about that. Dead fucking Rising 3, man.
That game, you know, it's the main reason I want to get an Xbox One on launch day. I'm a huge Dead Rising fan. I love it because it's not serious. And when it's serious, it's funny.
But that's the thing. The presentation made it look like it was going to be more serious than funny.
No, that's the thing. Is they showed off a picture of the main character wearing a surfboard hat and a woman's dress and hitting people with a teddy bear.
Okay, good.
Hitting the zombies with a teddy bear. So I'm like, oh, thank God, everything is fixed now in like one picture.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But what console will definitely. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I believe, I think the PlayStation will definitely have an advantage in the early rounds. I think just because of the price and the fact that casual gamers, normal gamers, people who just want to buy a new console are probably going to go for the PlayStation 4 in regards for price, in regards for people who are paying attention to the media. They still have not healed from what Xbox has been saying about not supporting, the region-free modification and all that. But down the line, there's going to be an equilibrium between the both, and I think it's going to be an equal battle. It's not going to be last generation, the PlayStation took a lot of blows, and even until now, it's only started picking up recently, relatively recently.
Yeah.
This coming generation, I believe, is going to be pretty equal. The Wii U, forget the Wii U. It's over. It's over for the Wii U.
I wouldn't say it's over for the Wii U. I don't think so, because we're going to see a lot of good games coming out for that within the next few months.
I mean, like, I heard in Japan it picked up, like, ridiculously because of Pikmin 3. Yeah, that's a huge number of...
Pikmin 3 is awesome.
Absolutely. I'm talking about actual value for consoles, whether it's going to sell or not, absolutely. I mean, the Wii sold, but like, hotcakes, but that doesn't mean I was playing the Wii for 6 years while it was out. I played the Wii for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I popped it off my radar. So the Wii U, is it going to sell? Absolutely. With the new first-party games that come out, it will. But if they don't get proper third-party support, how long are they going to keep pushing with the first-party? I mean, their first-party games, there's at least 6 months between one first-party game and another. Are gamers going to waste 6 months to justify the purchase of the Wii U? Third-party people, developers, need to support the Wii U in order for it to sustain in the long run versus the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One.
Yeah, that is very true. So we'll have to really see if we can get a little bit more support from the third-party softwares onto Nintendo's side. I mean, it's good that I'm seeing Sega doing that with the whole Sonic franchise. I mean, who knows? Like, Nintendo could probably...
But at the same time, Sega wisely canceled Ace Colossal and Marines also of the Wii U, which was the version, by the way, I was looking forward to the most. I love the idea of actually using the iPad as a scanner.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the version I was looking forward to the most. So when they canceled it, it was a wise decision. But it's like, oh, fuck this. So another bumble on the Wii U that got away. I was hoping maybe they could have fixed the franchise on the Wii U version, but, you know, that's not how it's
kind of like what happened with Ninja Gaiden 3 last year. It was buggy as hell on PS3 and Xbox, and then when it came on the Wii U, it was a much better experience.
Absolutely. That's what I was hoping for. You can actually fix it up.
Agreed.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So PlayStation definitely will win the first round, in my opinion, but in the long run, I think it's going to be a very close battle between the PS4 and the Xbox One. They're both stellar consoles. They're offering a lot in return. The PlayStation wisely went cheaper this time around versus the $600 PS3 launch. So I think it's going to be an interesting generation for consoles right now.
Me too. And I'm hoping, too, that we're going to be just blown away by not only graphically, but story-wise and gameplay-wise and all that. I mean, the one thing that I still keep thinking of when it comes to, like, graphics, I keep thinking of The Dark Sorcerer. How much that blew me away.
Yeah, that was really good. Even Final Fantasy 15. Mm. Holy crap, that game looks good.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, absolutely. There's so much that they're going to be offering in return. That's going to look awesome. You know, and since we're talking about the PlayStation, what do you guys think? I mean, we know that the PlayStation 1 revolutionized disc gaming. PlayStation 2 revolutionized DVDs. PlayStation 3 revolutionized Blu-rays. PS4, what do you guys think is going to revolutionize?
That's actually a question that you should be asking for both PS4 and Xbox One, because I honestly don't think that they're, like, really next-gen consoles. They're more like upgrades, in my opinion.
That's a good point, Rashad. It does feel like they're more like upgrades.
But defines a new age console? What defines a new generation console?
I feel like
that's a good question too. I mean, but come on, you got to look at it from this way. But look at the difference between the PS4 and the PS3. I mean, the PS4 has just a fancy new menu. Okay, they added this whole social media element. I mean, all of these features could be on the PS3, if you think about it. It's just that they did it on the PS4 because people would buy into it and think, oh, wow, better graphics. This should be worth the investment, you know?
But would you say between the PS2 and the PS3? Well, actually, no, that's a massive leap between PS2 and
PS4. That is a big difference because, it completely introduced, like, online gaming for consoles, even though there was already Xbox Live. But it was for, like, on a massive scale now. And they had updates, they had downloadable games, they had hard drives. None of these things really existed back then.
So if this was an update, what would have made it a definitely generational leap for you? What would have PlayStation or Xbox
done? Okay, maybe. To be honest, I think, even though we're not ready for it, some way to play games without downloading and just streaming it, but in a really very, like, consistent way. Like, I'm talking about, like,
I think that's
the way you're watching television, same thing, kind of thing.
I think that's what the Gaikai, or I think that's what that's going to be like. I believe that's what PlayStation 4 is going to bring with that. Is it called Gaikai, or how do you pronounce it?
Yeah, Gaikai, yeah.
I think that's what that's going to be, is where you're going to be able to just stream games without having to download them and such. It's going to be like playing a Flash video game, only better.
Yeah, but the problem is I don't think we're really ready for it. I mean, we're talking about lots of data to download, you know? I mean, and streaming it and making it consistent and synced, wow.
But actually, the tech is already out there. Remember OnLive, man? OnLive a few years ago was revolution. No one was ready for this, but look at it now. Now this is becoming the default of gaming, where you can actually share other people's games, and you can actually involve yourself. So that's one step forward. You can actually play someone's game on their system.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Like, even in the PS4, they're like, oh, now you can sign into any PS4 and play your games. But then they go into detail, and they say, you got to download the multiplayer. Obviously, you still got to download. I mean, that's not really a big deal, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, heck, I'm still going to buy these consoles because at the end of the day, it's about the games, right? I mean, if they're going to say Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't know, Final Fantasy 15, and I don't know, Dead Rising 3 are only going to be on next-gen consoles, you bet I'm going to buy them, right?
Absolutely.
Because I want to play those games.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, that's the most important thing is obviously the games. But if you're going to tell me if it's a next generation, like a wow big leap between the PS3 and the Xbox 360, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I just see them as...
It's one of those situations where can you go from here in the gaming realm?
Yeah.
But there is one thing. There's one thing that is kind of exciting me. And even though it's a rumor, I have hopes that it's going to wind up being true. And it does deal with the PlayStation 4. And it's the fact that the Oculus Rift might be workable with it.
Oh. That would
be fucking awesome.
But they're so expensive.
It is expensive, yes.
The next problem is, one, the actual device is going to be expensive. And two, for developers to sit down and code it specifically, you know, a game for the PlayStation 4 to work with Oculus Rift might require some investment from their end. And if not enough people have bought that device, then they won't do it, which would be a technology went to shame.
And it's a shame, yeah, because the Oculus Rift has so much to offer.
So much to offer. It looks fantastic. It's just you need people to buy it. It's an expensive accessory.
Right,
it's,
which is why that they're just going to test the waters first with, like, PC and Mac and all that. And then when they see how that works, I bet you it's going to go right to consoles. And the fact that Sony has a big interest in the Oculus Rift shows it has me thinking that it's possibly going to go to PlayStation 4 first before possibly going to something like Xbox One.
Yeah, well, I think so too.
Hopefully, that'll be awesome. I mean, I'm definitely getting the Oculus Rift. I think it's a leap in the gaming technology, gaming in general as a whole. Because I wanted to say earlier that we should be focusing on the new leap in console gaming as opposed to gaming in general. Because gaming in general, there's the whole PC market that's taking place. That's a different monster in itself. It's a completely different issue in regards to PC gaming. But in regards to console gaming, including the Oculus Rift and the PS4 as an accessory that works for it, would be a massive plus for the PlayStation.
And I totally agree, because if you want the leaps of, like, what's next for gaming, that's where you're going to find it, is in virtual reality. Something that we as gamers and as people have been waiting for since, God, like the 1980s.
It's fucking Virtual Boy.
I know. Virtual Boy was a big, big mistake. There was It was a bit of a mistake on Nintendo's part, one of their probably biggest mistakes. But finally, the technology is there for an actual virtual reality feeling sort of gaming peripheral. And Oculus Rift, when I went hands-on with that at E3, it showed me that it's ready. It's time.
Oh, shit. It was hands-on with Oculus Rift?
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed it, too. I was so back with meetings and stuff.
I'm good with the PR person.
Rashid. Next year, we take less fucking interviews and so we can spend more time actually exploring E3.
Yes. I'm with you, Spark, man. I really got freaking owned. I barely had time to play anything.
Fifi and I were running around one interview to another.
Yeah,
we were like
headless chicken getting interviews left, right, and center, and none of, and like we like thank God for the behind the
Xbox behind the scenes, Xbox One behind the scenes. They had like a
behind the scenes
first
for
day.
Xbox, so we can actually play the games without waiting in queues and waiting in line. And
yeah, but otherwise, there's so much that we missed out. Like the Oculus Rift, that would have been like way up there on my list to actually try out.
There were actually a couple units at the IndieCade this year because there were a couple of developers from the indie people that were working with it. You could have tried it out right then and there.
I know, dude. But see, Rashid can confirm this, man. Our schedule is packed, back to back interviews. We barely had 5 or maybe 10 minutes of breathing time to try a game that we felt like trying.
We got owned.
Next year's gonna be different.
The PR agents in the UAE make sure that we don't have time to do anything.
Yeah, but
except
I can't get on that. Jesus. That's it. I'm going there alone.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that.
Hopefully next year will be a lot better experience for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How many times have you been to E3 before?
Me? This past year was my third time.
Awesome. All right, cool.
Wow. Nice.
I went 2011, 2012, and this year in 2013.
Awesome.
Was 2013 the best for you, Evan?
I would say probably yes. Maybe tied with 2011, because in 2011, that's when I went hands-on with the Wii U, and that was an amazing experience to try out a new style of gaming.
Yes.
Cool. But 2013, I feel like, was more relaxed for me. I had a lot more fun at the events. I had a lot more fun going and chatting with people like you and you other press people and people in the gaming industry. I felt like it was a lot more fun this year than the years past.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely was a lot of fun.
on that note about games that we tried at E3, let's talk about what we hope for in the second half of 2013. Which games are we most looking forward to? What should more people be talking about? And what do you think it has no chance in hell of being any good?
My most anticipated game...
Our.
Yeah, because we actually share the same one. Our most anticipated game... Wait, does it come out in 2013?
It should. No, it doesn't.
We were about to say Destiny, but I'm Destiny not. Like,
I was gonna guess that because of the shirt you were wearing in the picture you posted.
Dude, we're massive Destiny fans.
Absolutely, we love Destiny. We've been
the idea of Destiny, at least we didn't really try. Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Like what we saw from the game till now, we're so excited for it. Definitely our kind of game.
And Garden Warfare for the fucking win.
Yeah, you are so excited for Garden Warfare, Plants vs. Zombies. For me, it's a little bit of a funny one. It's actually DuckTales Remastered.
You see, that's why I think Capcom gave up on Remember Me. They was like, oh, wait, we've got DuckTales. Let's push Remember Me to the side. DuckTales, woohoo!
And not one person was not singing that song the second they heard the tune go on, you know? It's almost impossible not to do the woohoo, you know?
When they announced that at PAX East, they had only one booth set up for the DuckTales Remastered. It was a 4-hour wait to play that game.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'm not surprised. I mean, and like they had such a huge marketing campaign for it this year with the whole, and like we went to an 8-bit gallery, and they had the whole like money bin. Scrooge's money bin was there too. So they're really putting money behind promoting it.
But you know what they're forgetting, though? Speaking of DuckTales Remastered, I believe they're not talking enough about Castle of Illusion, which is another awesome classic 2D platformer that was released almost at the same time.
Yeah, Sega's remastering.
Huh?
Yeah, it's Sega's remastering.
Is it Sega?
Yeah, because Sega did Castle of Illusion.
It's Castle of Illusion should be receiving the same treatment that DuckTales is. It's such a shame that it's not. It's
overshadowed.
Yeah, it's overshadowed because DuckTales was a game that really changed platformers.
DuckTales had a fucking cartoon. Nostalgia alone is pushing people to go and play the game again.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll
see what else. It's like the godfather of DuckTales.
Absolutely, absolutely. but in regards to games that I believe might not have a chance...
Okay.
Unfortunately... As ambitious as the project is, I'm still struggling to find how Disney Infinity is going to find itself beating Skylander or trying to attempt to take over what Skylander is doing. I have massive doubts around Disney Infinity. I think this is my biggest fear because they put so much money behind it. They spent a lot of time developing that game. I don't think it's going to really pick up the way that they think it will.
I agree with you on that because I remember going to E3 and people are going to the Disney Infinity booths, but they're not there to get the game. They're not there to play the game. They just want the collectibles.
They want the collectibles. They want to take photos with next to Disney characters the way that they want.
They want to get the free shirts and they want to get the free poster.
Right, but not for the game. They don't care about
the free figures and such because then they'll be able to sell them on eBay for like $500.
Absolutely. And I went to the behind the scenes. I'm not sure if Rashid also went there. So we spoke to the developers while they tried the game. Yeah. They spoke to us about it. And I wasn't impressed in all honesty. It's nothing that I haven't seen before, and I don't see how they're going to beat Skylanders.
I don't think so either, because Skylanders already has its foot in the door when it comes to toy-based games.
It's $1 billion foot in the door.
Yeah, and that's why I'm a little bit hesitant about the Pokemon Rumble U that's coming out as well. I mean, granted, it's Pokemon. That's a huge franchise, but does it have the sort of push that's going to sell more toys and such?
Pokemon has a much bigger chance than Disney Infinity, I'll tell you that.
Okay, I will agree with you on that
part. Yeah.
I mean, Pokemon... who wouldn't love to own, for example, like a small figurine of Pikachu, or I don't know what other characters are, so they can summon them on screen? I think it's every Pokemon lover's, you know, dream come true in regards to that. They'd love to own these Pokemon figurines, collecting them all. I mean, Pokemon's tagline is collect them all. Catch them all. So Pokemon is a much...
that tagline for some reason.
Did they? What a shame.
Yeah. I think because it grew to like a ridiculous number.
You can't really catch them all.
Yeah, it's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe Disney Infinity is probably going to be the game that's going to really bite it hard this year.
Okay. So, all right, Rashard, the one you're most looking forward to, the one you think more people should be talking about, and the one you think it doesn't have a chance in hell.
Well, I actually have two games I'm really looking forward to. I mean, Wind Waker, as you guys know, it's like probably one of the best games for me ever. So to know that they're actually making an HD remake, yeah, the Wind Waker. Even though it's a game I played, yes, it's a game I played, but I'm really excited for it. But on top of that, I think the Pokemon X and Y has me really excited. Because it's a game changer. For the first time, it feels different.
Freaks.
For the first time, it's a fully 3D Pokemon game.
Yeah, it's a fully 3D Pokemon world. Like, you can actually walk diagonally. That's a big deal.
Oh, no, you can walk diagonally? How revolutionary!
Yeah,
dude, it's just like when it's just like with Call of Duty Ghosts. Or we've got dogs! Yeah. Dogs! How revolutionary is dogs?
And screw Call of Duty. I'm so sick of that fucking franchise, man. I don't even like the games.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess those are like probably the two kind of things. I'm also actually looking forward to the Mario and Luigi's Dream thing coming to 3DS. Dream Team. Yeah, that one has me really excited too.
Can I try, just for a small second, do you guys agree with me that it's such a shame that instead of pushing for the Wii U, Nintendo goes out and releases it as a 3DS exclusive instead of giving it a port on the Wii U where it could have really benefited from the sales? Super Mario RPG, for fuck's sake, man.
Well, if you look at it, it actually doesn't fit a Wii U game because it's like very basic.
It is very
and like
basic.
It's meant for a port. It's like a very, like a portable game.
It's not like you look at it in 3 Ultimate. Now, yeah. if they were to finally team up again with Square and make the 6 Golden Star game remake that we've been asking for, then that's going to go straight to Wii U.
Wii U actually does have the wonderful 101 and that Project X game. It looks pretty cool.
And Bayonetta 2.
And Bayonetta 2. I mean, that's pretty badass. But yeah. But okay, if I had to pick one, I guess it has to be the Pokemon game.
Okay.
But what game do you think is not going to work?
I agree with you, Spark. I think Disney Infinity. Destiny Infinity, because I combine both. But anyways, the Disney Infinity, I don't think it's going to work out either. It's like, doesn't seem that exciting. It's so blah. It doesn't even look that attractive. I mean, when I look at Skylanders, I'm like, wow, that actually looks fun. Like,
it's a nice fucking place, Skylanders. It's awesome.
Yeah, but I think there's an audience for Disney. Not enough to make it such a huge, massive game, but like enough for people to be like, yo, we love this game and it's so nostalgic. And yeah, I love the characters of Toy Story, and now I can play with them. And it's a younger,
younger fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a younger fan base.
And people, there will be gamers who will buy it, obviously. But the thing is, to rebut what Fifi was talking about, I don't believe that even no matter how many people buy I don't believe it will be able to justify the amount of time and money they put into the technology, into creating these figurines and all that. I think it's just going to flop.
I have a sneaking suspicion that's going to happen too. I see this game maybe lasting an entire year before they just drop the whole toy shenanigan.
Yeah,
probably. But as a game that I think that would ultimately not live up or not work, no chance of hell of ever being good, whatever, I think it's going to be that Wolfenstein New Order.
Ooh, okay.
I was really disappointed with that game. I was actually like, wow, they're bringing back Wolfenstein, and I was kind of really disappointed already from the last Xbox 360 game. And then I went and I saw the live demo, and I actually tried the game for a bit, and I'm just like, what is this, 1998?
We're going to have a bit of a disagreement here, because that is like the title that I feel like more people should be talking about. I was a huge fan of the original Wolfenstein 3D. That was one of the first PC games I ever owned. And I feel like it's staying true to the concepts of the original first-person shooter, while at the same time adding like the best of the new style of shooters. I mean, I love how the fact that you can just pick up as many guns as you like, unlike these days where you can only just have two guns. In this one, it's just like old school. You pick up the gun, it's yours. You don't have to trade it off for another one. And I loved the challenge I was getting out of battling like the Third Reich along with the giant Nazi mechs. And that final boss battle that I was playing with the demo, the whole machine gun packing, laser shooting, I still remember the sound that was making. It was haunting me, how it was revving up as soon as it was going to blast its lasers. I still remember that sound. Wow. And it just gave me a chill every time I heard it. So I'm looking forward to that. It's not the game I'm looking forward to the most, but I feel like it's one that more people should be talking about. And it seems that we lost Fifi and King Sparkleptic. Let me see if I can get them back up again. Hold on.
I was wondering when I was getting too quiet.
We can hear you. We're having connection problems, and we're going to have to disconnect again in a short while.
Okay.
So you guys were saying, sorry, we got interrupted.
No, it's fine. I was just telling Evan that one of the games I think that's not gonna like get a lot of attention is, or no chance in hell of being good, is basically the new Wolfenstein game.
And basically, I was disagreeing because I felt like it was capturing the old style of the original game.
I fully agree with you, Evan. I fully agree with you, Evan. And actually, did you play it during E3?
Yeah, I loved it.
I don't know. It didn't feel like something amazing. I don't know. I wasn't entertained at all. I just felt like it was so blah.
And I was telling Rashad that I'm still haunted by the sound of that final boss battle that you go up with, the revving before it shoots that massive laser at you. I still hear that, man.
I'll tell you what. I'm a massive fan of first-person shooters. I love them to death, especially if they're done properly. And Wolfenstein, what I thought was awesome about it, yes, Rashid, you could argue that it's another one of those black ray shooters, destroyed castle, Wolfenstein all over again. Yes, they're bringing back the Nazi issue, which unfortunately they can't get rid of because that's the core of the Wolfenstein franchise. Yes. They can't get rid of the old concept of Nazis. But the gameplay, man, the AI is so fucking challenging, man.
That's what I loved about it too.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to the gameplay because I was challenged. The AI was kicking my ass. They were hiding, they were covering, they were working in tune with each other. There were some glitches, of course, where you'd see an AI running into a wall. But I figured, this is not the final copy anyways. But I believe it's going to be an interesting switch to what a first-person shooter should play like. It played like Killzone. It's as awesome as playing Killzone, but a complete franchise.
I spent like a good hour just playing this demo, like because of the challenges I was getting from the AI. And I was very satisfied from what I saw.
Yeah, I love a challenge, especially when it comes... I mean, if the challenge is justified, I believe it's going to be a great experience.
Agreed.
It's not just being hard. They make you want to know when to shoot, what ammo to use, when to use. You have to conserve your ammo. It's not a one-and-gun game. You got to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got to know where to hide. You got to know when and where to shoot because you never know when they're going to pop up.
Ever. So I disagree with Rashid. I think this game is actually going to be interesting. It might not be the multi-million dollar selling game that will revolutionize the video game industry, but it's going to be a good game.
Okay. Yeah. But the game that I myself am looking forward to the most, South Park the Stick of Truth.
Oh, that's right. We forgot about that.
Absolutely.
We forgot about that. I fucking dived in it.
We are huge South Park fans, and I can quote every single Cartman phrase out there, and that's definitely a game I'm excited for. I'm a bit disappointed that we weren't able to play it and that the developers were actually playing it.
But at the very least, we saw him actually playing him and not behind walls and such, so we know like how it's going to be set up and such.
Yeah, but I think like it would have been so nice to get my hands on it and like to actually play it and give it a go.
Who wants a multiplayer South Park Stick of Truth experience?
I do.
Man, that would be awesome if they can pull it off.
Yeah, if they can pull it off, that would be fantastic.
It's like Castle Crashers taking it to another extreme.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I'm not the biggest fan of turn-based role-playing games, but this South Park game has got me wanting to play more of this sort of style. Especially, I love how the actual wizard and magical powers are just like common household items they're using.
It's genius.
Mm.
It's got the whole feeling of actually participating in a LARP.
In a what?
LARP, live action role playing game.
LARP.
Oh, that's like what
I don't think I've ever heard that acronym. LARP. LARP.
Really? It's a very popular acronym.
Isn't that when people dress up as knights and stuff?
Yep. Yep. It's exactly.
And they go on like in the park and they start hitting each other.
Yep. That's basically what the South Park game is going to be.
I want to research LARP over here in LA, man. I'd love to be a part of one of these things.
Oh, there probably are a lot of big ones over there. Trust me. You'll probably be able to find one. But as for a game that I have that I know is going to be no chance of hell of ever being good, have you ever seen the trailer for Rambo the video game?
Rambo?
Rambo the video game.
The crappy-ass graphics?
Yep, graphics, they look like there's something out of a PlayStation 2 game. And what is it with Rambo's head looking bigger than its body? It looks like it's Big Head Mode during the whole game. Like, remember Big Head Mode at NBA Jam?
A game like Rambo is dead on arrival. I mean, I don't think anyone should really be backing themselves up with it.
It's going to be total shit, and here are some other reasons. I mean, granted, the gameplay looks like it's going to be cool. It's got the reminiscence of that title Naughty Bear, but that would have been a good thing if it had been that both Naughty Bear games didn't suck. And
is it a first-person shooter, by the way?
Nope, it's third-person.
I actually want to play that Rambo arcade game. That was really fun.
Yes, if it was like the Rambo arcade game, it would have been good. But this is just bad.
Yeah.
And they're half-assed in the voice acting. You know what they're doing? They're just using sound clips from the movie. They're not even hiring a Stallone impersonator to come in and.
Like a soundboard off a.
A soundboard. Seriously, it's like recorded. You got somebody on a soundboard. Yeah.
Who is your daddy? And what does he do?
They just couldn't have someone come in going, I'm gonna kill you.
Rashid, as my signing out words, because Fifi and I really have to head out. As my signing out, Rashid, I have a question for you.
Okay.
This one goes straight to Rashid. Rashid, what do you get when you mix an owl with a bungee cord?
What do you get?
Alright, so I think we could just end the podcast on that, on your ass.
Absolutely, man.
So, this was awesome. For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. And we are on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com.
I'm going to find it hard to...
That was epic. Holy crap.
We were just going to say,
all right, guys. You can follow me on... This has been Fifi Prosper. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, under any social media, under the name Fifi Prosper. I'm your girl gamer, the Arab world's favorite girl gamer, and now I'm in LA, bringing the best in video games, the best in fashion, the best in style, the best in everything.
Absolutely. And this not Sparkleptic. Fifi and I, we're both representing Region 2. You can check us out on www.theregion2show.com. We present you all kind of video gaming news, information, updates, specifically with an Arabic, coming from the Arabic world.
With an Arabic twang.
With an Arabic twang. So do check us out also on Twitter and on Facebook, facebook.com/theregion2show. And you can also check me out, Sparkleptic, and on Facebook and Twitter, as well as his Instagram. Check us out.
If you know how to spell it.
Sparkleptic. Haha. Sparkleptic. Woo-hoo.
And this has been Rashid, or Rashad, as they call me in the West.
I'm sorry.
This has been Rashad. It's fine. This has been Rashid or Rashad, and the Arab Gamer. I game from the Arab world. You can find me at thearabgamer.com. That's my website. Everything is there. I'm too lazy to give you everything else. So just go there. You'll find my Twitter, my Facebook, my YouTube. Follow me. Do all the rest, crap. I don't know. Video games. LOL.
Whatever people on the internet do, just do that.
Yeah, just do that. Yeah. Do it.
Rashad, right. Fifi, Sparkleptic, thank you so much for joining us here on the Boston Bash Brigade, and I hope we can do something like this again in the near future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for this chat, and gamers salute.
Absolutely. And until next time, this is King Davy Duck reminding you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. 'Cause I-